Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles open then to Proverbs chapter 24. Of course, we're missing Bishop. I'm sure he's tuned in, listening. And we've got a number of situations, a number of folks that are not here tonight besides Bishop and Sister Regan, various sicknesses and complications and issues. And we're praying for each of you that are not able to be here. I know some have mentioned they would be listening online, so we're praying for you, asking the Lord to give you strength and healing. And we're not just going on and having church and forgetting about you. We're missing you, and wish you were feeling well enough to be here. But we understand, amen. Also missing Bishop. I wish he was. Has nothing to do with being well, but I wish he was here. And but we also understand. Bishop says, yes, I am. So he's confirmed that he's tuned in, listening, and he's got his glasses on. Well, at least that's what the emoji showed. But maybe I shouldn't read everything so literally. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. As a text tonight, one verse of scripture, and maybe you have read this one before. Bible tells us in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Everybody say, riseth up. Just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. I want to preach on this subject, teach, talk, preach, whatever. Talk to you tonight on this subject, arise. Amen. Why don't you lay down your Bibles and ask the Lord to anoint my lips and also to anoint your ears. Let's all pray together right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray that you would use me, God, to communicate. I believe the Lord put upon my heart. I want them to make it clear. I don't want them to be any guesswork. I want them to understand. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Savior. We love you, Jesus. That's it. Let's love him right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy God. Oh, I feel his touch right now. Let's worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could be seated tonight if you promise to help. Man, I don't know if I waited long. Okay, yeah, you're all sitting down. Good. All right. Got total cooperation. Again, man, y'all are the best. Amen. I got to thinking about this. I felt like I was going to preach this on Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost took a little bit of a different turn. And I'm thankful that he did. I'm thankful that God moved in this service the way that he did Sunday morning. And then again on Sunday night, and Dave came down to the altar and was seeking God's touch. I saw it. He actually reached out to me. I hope I'm not embarrassing, but he reached out to me on Facebook and connected to me. And I took a little peruse, and I started praying for him again today. I believe that God is working on Dave. I believe that God's wanting to do something in that man's life and in his family's life. Amen. I see the hunger. I can sense the desire for him that he has to live for God. And so I am praying for him, and I hope you are as well. Amen. But I've come with a desire tonight to try to help somebody. And I'll be honest with you. One of the things that I had in my mind today as I was praying for this service was that perhaps there would be somebody who had not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost in service with us tonight. But given that they are not here, or perhaps they're listening online, that's all right. I know there are some young people here that might need the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I say young people, I'm using that term liberally. When we use that word, we usually mean 12 and up, but I mean all the way down to the bottom, all the way down to zero. We all need the Holy Ghost. Amen. But given that the parties that I thought may be here, the Lord that I thought may be here are not here. And I was not preparing. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I wasn't preparing because of somebody that I thought was coming. I'm just saying what I was feeling this while I was praying and so on. But regardless of whether or not they are here, amen, God knows what he's doing. And God knows who he's trying to get a hold of. And so I'm just going to preach to you just like I planned, if that's okay. I guess that's an all right. I guess that's an agreement. Amen. But whether or not you agree, I guess I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. I was thinking about this. Our text is a familiar passage of Scripture. And we quote it oftentimes, perhaps to new converts or to those who are coming into truth, to help them understand that hey, if you mess up, if you slip up, man, the same process that got you to where you are will help you out of that rut as well. And you could continue to pray and God will deliver you and liberate you again. The just man falleth. Indeed, the just man does fall. Amen. I don't claim to be absolutely just and perfect in every which way, but I do claim to do my very, very, very best. Amen. I want God to be pleased with Jared Hilton. And I was saying that in prayer just today, and I was talking to God and tears streaming down my face, and I want God to know that I'm serious about living for God. I'm not interested in just playing games. I want to go all the way. I want to be one of the ones who willingly lay my knees down before him and submit to him. Hallelujah. And but the distinction between the wicked man and the just man is that while they both fall, the just man rises up again. The just man gets back up. The just man gets up. And this is really a practical thing that I'm getting ready to share with you. It's not anything profound, but any time as you read through the New Testament, you read as Jesus begins to do miracles and starts to work in his ministry, many times, and I'll cite just a few examples, but many times the Bible tells us that Jesus arises. Jesus arises. Not that he has fallen, but that there's something about this idea, this concept in the Scripture. The word arise is very interesting if you just do a word study on it and find all the times that word, the English word arise, appears in the Scripture, or arose, or some variation of the word, or rise, and so on. It's interesting, the various circumstances that evolve around that word. And some of the ones that I've noted are when Jesus got up, when Jesus was sitting down and something grasped his attention and something transpired that caused him to stand up and get on his feet and to come to attention. Amen. I'm here to tell you, amen, that if you come in earnest to God, I want you to know that he doesn't just passively come to church, but if you've come with a purpose, if you've come with a desire, I'm here to tell you, you've got enough to get his attention. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. His earthly ministry is a symbol. It's an example, amen, to us as the New Testament church to understand, amen, how he would like his New Testament church to operate. He's an example to us as Christians, but also him as the earthly tabernacle, the fulfillment, amen, of the Old Testament law. He's an example to us of how he intends for his New Testament church to work. Hallelujah. And I don't have time. I've talked about that. Bishop has taught about that. Amen. I don't have time to get into all that. But I just want to make note. I want you to understand that there are some things that we can do that causes Jesus to get up. Bishop Howard, an admit several years ago, he made this observation. This is many, many years, and I maybe don't even have this in my notes. I'm just thinking of it now. But he made a statement about God, amen, in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Jehovah. There's a note that he made when he was preaching one year, and he commented that when God got up, he was getting ready to do something. He was getting ready to not just make an observation. You don't just get up unless you're a short person, I guess. But you don't just get up to look at something. You don't just get up to, sorry, Sister Kim, that wasn't a stray at you. No. You don't just get up to just sit back down, you know. Usually when you get up, you've got a purpose. You've got something on your mind. You've got something something in your plan. You're planning something. You're getting ready to execute something. And Elder Howard made that observation about God, that any time the Bible says that he got up in the Old Testament, he was ready to exercise his power. He was ready to exercise his power. He was ready to do something for his people. He was ready, not to just, to satisfy or make a feel. No, he was ready to do something. Hallelujah. And I understand a lot of what I'm saying right here is just superficial. Just ride with me for a moment. Amen. But God, when we come to church, when we come and we kneel on our knees, or we come and we throw our hands up in worship as we were doing just a few moments ago, I'm telling you, God loves that. That's something that gets his attention. He doesn't just ignore it. In fact, he can't ignore it. When we begin to magnify him, when we begin to praise him, he can't help but look down and say, hey, there's somebody, worshiping me here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's why in almost in a spontaneous moment, in just a brief second or two, we can our eyes can be closed, our hands can be lifted, and we don't feel much, but then something transpires. I'm here to tell you, amen, the thing that happens is that Jesus is arising. Jesus is getting up, and he's ready to execute his power, his authority in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, some of you are having trouble believing that, or you're thinking this is not Sunday night, or I don't know. There's a number of things, hallelujah, that's possible here. Amen. But let me just give you a couple of verses here, as Elder Lambeth says, some Bible verses. I'll give you some Bible verses. Matthew chapter 2, verse 20 tells us this, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me skip that one. Let's jump down to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 26. When Jesus gets up, there's very little that have the ability to remain down. Amen. Anything that's around Jesus. If Jesus gets up, now I'll give you an example in just a second, but Jesus gets up and he's ready to do something, there's very little in his vicinity that can willingly stay down. Now, our human will is one of those things that we can just outright reject it. We can outright reject God's desire for us to get up and respond to him. But if Jesus gets up, and if we can respond to him in that same way, in the way that he expects us to, then I'm telling you, there's something great that's getting ready to happen. Let me give you an example. Matthew 8, 23 says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose. And when he arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. When Jesus gets up, when Jesus arises, something great is getting ready to change. Something great is getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. I think not only the elements of the universe respond to him, but I think we ought to as well. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 tells us this: while he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Verse 19 says, and Jesus arose and followed him. But notice what else this Bible verse says. And so did his disciples. So not only is Jesus standing now, but also the Father that asked Jesus and Jesus' own disciples. And why? Why did they get up? Verse 23 tells us that when Jesus came into the ruler's house, Jesus did not just get up to sit back down. Jesus got up so that he can go into the ruler's house. And why did he go into the ruler's house? He saw the minstrels and the people making a noise and said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. I'm here to tell you tonight that when Jesus gets up, amen, and if we respond accordingly and follow him as his disciples did, amen, there is nothing. Nothing. When we get our old carnal mind and our old carnal will in line and subject to what God is doing, then there is nothing. I repeat, absolutely nothing that can withhold the authority and the power of God. Hallelujah. Not even death, amen, can stay down when Jesus and his disciples decide to get up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere tonight, church, if you just help me just for a little bit. Hallelujah. Jesus arose. His disciples arose. And then, amen, the dead maid, amen, gets up. I feel something right now in the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell somebody, I don't care how long your situation has been laying there dead and dormant. If you get up when Jesus gets up, if you follow him, if you walk into the room where Jesus is, I'm here to tell you, your situation will not stay on that bed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give God some praise right now. Jesus, I love you, Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's several more instances, several examples of this throughout, amen, the New Testament. I mentioned that, and you could go take the time to study them yourself. I don't want to spend so much time there, but there are numerous examples and miracles where Jesus, amen, required those to whom he was getting ready to perform a miracle on to get up. Hallelujah. You can't stay in the situation that you're in. If you want something to change, if you want it to stay the same, stay where you are. If you want it all to be just like it is right now, nothing's required of you. Nothing has to change. Nothing, you don't have to move a muscle. Amen. But if you want it to change, hallelujah. And Jesus is standing right before you with his hand outstretched, then buddy, I would recommend that you get on your two feet, amen, and stand strong before Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. In certain circumstances, Luke chapter 6 is a good example. I'm not going to read all the passages. You can read it for yourself. Luke chapter 6 gives us a story about the man with the withered hand. Now, why in the world would this man need to stand up? There is no literal reason for a man with a withered hand to arise. Except that when Jesus says to arise, you must arise. Amen. In Luke chapter, let me just read the statement. Luke chapter 6, verse 8, Sister Lydia, it says, but he knew their thoughts. Talking about those who were accusing him in their mind, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who are looking on and saying, this isn't biblical. Amen. And the ones that are judging him and castigating them in him in their mind. But he, knowing their thoughts, amen, as Jesus, amen, was fighting this battle, amen, he knew their thoughts. He said to the man which had a withered hand, rise up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When the skeptics and the naysayers and the scoffers and the ones that are looking down their nose at you, amen, the ones that's casting judgment on you, and says they're never going to make it. I don't know why they're even here. I don't know why they're still. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen, I don't know why they keep coming. I don't know why they're trying. Hallelujah. Hey, you ignore all that and you listen to the sweet voice of Jesus that says, stand up. You got a right to stand up in the synagogue. You got a reason to stand up. If Jesus said, get up, how do you get up? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stand forth in the midst. Hallelujah. While they're watching, while they're doubting. Why they got the questions rolling in their mind? Let them see what I'm getting ready to do. I've got something I want to do, Brother Brody. I want to use you. I want to change you. I want to put something in you. But I can't do it if you're going to just sit there. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord some praise right now. He cut up a heart. Jesus, hallelujah, amen, you could be seated just for a moment. There's going to be a moment when I'm going to ask you to get up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But guess what happened? When this man got up, amen, he stood forth, he arose, and he stretched forth his hand, and everybody saw. You know the story. Hallelujah. Blind Bartimaeus. Everybody knows that one, right? Jesus stood still. Jesus didn't move. He was standing. He was there. But as the crowds were passing by, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. Crowds are saying, hey, be quiet. You're out of order. You don't know what you're doing. And Jesus stood still. And he turned around and he said, and he commanded him to be called, verse 49 of Mark chapter 10. And they called the blind man and saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50 says, and he casting away his garment, rose. Here to tell you tonight, amen, that when Jesus asks you to get up, it is not a call for you to bring along with you the things that are holding you down. You say, well, maybe I can continue doing this. Maybe I can keep walking this way. Maybe I can carry this identity with me. Hallelujah. I know that the guests that I anticipated or those that to whom I thought I may be preaching tonight are not here, but I'm talking to somebody else in the Holy Ghost tonight. And I'm trying to help you understand that the things that you thought you laid down years ago, perhaps you still are dragging it along. You might be standing. You might look the part. You might act the part. You might feel like you got all the dots, all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. Amen. But there's still some beggar garment that's strapped to your back. Amen. That you have not yet let go of. Let me tell you tonight. Amen. To truly get up, to truly arise, you've got to leave that old identity behind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're looking for Jesus to really change you, if you're looking for a genuine miracle in your life, you don't want to be blind Bartimaeus anymore. You don't want to be identified as being blind anymore. You just want to be Bartimaeus, the one who Jesus healed. If you're not blind Bartimaeus anymore, then why do you have the beggar's cloak? Why do you need to keep asking for all those handouts? Why do you need to keep, hallelujah, I feel like there's, I'm coming up against something. That's okay. I'm not concerned. I'm not worried. I'm just trying to get your attention tonight. And I want you to know, amen, that tonight is a night that you're able and God is here, amen, to help you throw away, cast away those identities, the things that you brought along with you. There's no shame in that. No, as a matter of fact, there's great glory in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a man in Jesus' ministry. I am trying to hurry. I'm trying to hurry here. Amen. There's a man in Jesus' ministry who also became identified by his disease, and he used it as an excuse. The man who was impotent for 38 years. Certain man, verse 5, the Bible tells us of John chapter 5, it says, a certain man was there, had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now, it's a Tuesday night. I know you didn't come expecting, honestly, I did not come expecting to preach this hard. I'm being real with you. I had this all laid out, and I was just going to just go through each of these examples and point this out. But I feel a burden right now for somebody. Amen. I feel like somebody, amen, is in this house, and you're looking for an answer, and God is here, and he wants you to know, amen, that you can be made whole. Truly. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Whether that is a physical healing or whether that's a spiritual miracle, whether that's something that you just need, amen, God to take care of, whether it's a financial situation, amen, I could use one of those, Lord. Let me just tell you, child of God, you can be made whole tonight. Hallelujah. But the lame, impotent man answered him, saying, sir, I have no man. This is verse 7. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus did not ask him why he was laying there. He did not ask him what's going on. He asked him, will you be made whole? Will you get up? Will you arise? Now, if this man was made whole, he would arise, right? If he was going to be made whole, he would get up, I'm sure. Unless he just really liked the ground. No, he would get up if he was made whole. So effectively, what Jesus is asking him is, will you get up? Will you be made whole? Not why are you still here? Not, and you know all this. In fact, I've preached from this passage before. And so perhaps this is a little bit redundant for some of you. But let me just make the point that when Jesus was trying to appeal to this young man or this 38-year-old, which in my opinion is young. I'm 32, so I'm getting there. Now, I still consider that very, very, very young, vital, you know, very strong, keeping on moving. Amen? Okay, all right, good. Do you want to get up? I don't have anybody to help me. I've tried 38 years. The same story. I keep coming. I didn't really expect this to happen on Tuesday. This is not really what you're supposed to do. Don't have nobody. Nobody. I feel this right here. When you go home and you're thinking that you're the only one in your situation, let me tell you something. You're not alone. You do not have to let the devil continue to lie to you and tell you that you're the only one in that situation. You're certainly not. Bishop has tried on numerous occasions to kind of indicate to this whole congregation the amount of fighting and struggling that's going on across the board. So understand you're not alone. Amen. And so that's not really an excuse, especially when Jesus is standing there and saying, get up. Do you just want to get up or you want to stay there? Okay, Bishop will be here Sunday morning. Everything will be back to normal. It's going to be a... Hallelujah. No, amen. If I were you, I would be standing up as soon as the words come out of his mouth. Amen. I'm not going to sit here a moment longer than I have to. If Jesus said, get up, I'm up. I'm getting off of my can. I'm going to do what Jesus asked me to do. I'm here to tell you, amen, our mind, amen, our fickle ways, amen, our reason can sometimes reason us out of a miracle. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The enemy is not happy with what I'm saying right now, but I'm going to say it anyway. Amen, devil, get you behind me, because I am getting up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give God some praise right now. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel such a power in this house right now. I feel such an anointing right now. Amen. You don't have to wait until I open these altars. If you've got enough faith, God can heal you. He can meet your need right now. In fact, Sister Tori, get on up here. These altars are open. I want to tell somebody, do you got the faith? It's time to get up. It's time to arise. It's time to stand on your feet. Oh, he's a mighty God. He said, I've come to church on Sunday. I came to church on Sunday night, and I didn't. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter. Amen. You're right here in Jesus' presence right now. Come on, that's it. That's faith. That's faith, child of God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, there's something happening right now. There's something shaking in the spirit. God is calling you. Get up. Get up. Don't go home and lay back down. Don't go back home and stay in your situation. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, your situation isn't dead. It's just laying there asleep. Amen. You think it's just laying there, amen, for so long. Let me tell you, child of God, he's here to rise you up. Woo! He